Good Shavuot Tov. This is Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. Tonight, I would like to take the opportunity to talk a little bit about Tu Bishvat, which is Mirtz Hashem, going to be celebrated in just under 24 hours, beginning tomorrow night. And I also like to dedicate our limud tonight for the Yeshua, for those Jews that are under siege in Texas this evening and in great peril. Tu Bishvat. What is Tu Bishvat? So Tu Bishvat, we know, is Rosh Hashanah La'ilan. It is one of the four Rosh Hashanahs cited in the Mishnah, the year, and it is the new year for trees, which means, in essence, that it is nothing more and nothing less than a demarcation, a point in time that the calendar stops. And when one has to calculate their maestros, their tithes, for the fruits of the tree for year one versus year two, or, you know, between 2 years, this is the end of the fiscal year, as it were. When you have to consider what, you know, which tithes and which maestros and of the maestros that are obligated, how much you have to get. Everything goes from Tu Bishvat to Tu Bishvat. So, to use some modern parlance here, it's the fiscal year for calculating taxes, and this is Tu Bishvat. Now, that's all well and good, but what is the celebration of Tu Bishvat about? What's the simcha here? And a simcha is not just something which is a relatively modern phenomenon, as developed by the Siddurim of the Mekubalim and Sfas, which have become popular in recent years, but it's reflected in the halacha. We don't say tachanun on Tu Bishvat, and that indicates that this day is not just Stam a day, which is the end of the fiscal year for calculating your tithing taxes. No, it's something more than that. Something significant is being celebrated. The question is, what exactly is that thing which is being celebrated? To answer this question, it is worth going back in time to the beginning of time, back to Gan Eden, back to Adam HaRishon. And the Torah tells us, and the Ibn Ezra explains this, that Adam HaRishon, before he sinned, his diet was composed of fruits of the tree, Peros HaIlan, Peros HaEitz. However, after he sinned, his diet had changed, and he could no longer be sustained, mankind would no longer be sustained simply based on fruits of the tree. But at this point, it would be expanded and required to eat vegetables and grains. And this reflects a diminished state of Adam HaRishon. It says it in the Pasuk. It's part of the curse. You're going to plant, you're going to try, you're going to work the field and by the sweat of your brow, and it'll be thorns and thistles, and you will eat from the grass of the field. Says the Ibn Ezra, this is part of the curse of Adam HaRishon, that he's going to have to eat vegetables and grains. No longer will he just simply be able to be sustained by the fruits. Indeed, the Gemara records that when Hashem told Adam of his new daily diet, he began crying, and he pled, and he declared to Hashem, Ribbono shel Olam, I and my donkey are going to eat from a single trough. In other words, you're putting me on the same on the same level as an animal. Plants, vegetables, that's for animals. And now that's what you're putting me on the level of an animal. So in other words, plants are animal food, and fruit and fruits are fit for humans. There's a profound message here. Reb Nosson Sliskin suggests, and I think it's a beautiful, profound idea, that plants are cut and consumed. And after you eat a plant, after you eat a vegetable, after you eat something made out of a grain, it's done. It's finished. And there's nothing left. What you see is what you get, and there is nothing more than that. By contrast, once the fruit of a tree is picked, and then the fruit is eaten and consumed, there is still great potential left in that tree to continue to produce more fruit for generations to come. And therefore, it seems that a fruit tree is the perfect metaphor for a person. Because there is so much more to a human being than what we currently see. A person is flesh and blood, but hidden, entrenched within that flesh and blood, is a neshama of infinite value and infinite capacity if we but choose to realize the potential of the greatness that lay in wait. We can do things extraordinary things. Now, animals, like plants that they eat, are static. In other words, what you see is what you get, and once it's gone, it's gone. In other words, after Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, his potential for spiritual greatness was significantly diminished. And although he didn't become an animal whose potential is fully realized just by being alive, Adam was now condemned to eat vegetables. And yet, in this diminished state, Adam HaRishon and all of humanity afterwards is called to realize the vast potential that still lies within each and every one of us. So the difference between a fruit and a vegetable, between a fruit and a plant, is the fruit represents the notion of extraordinary potential. That's a fruit tree. And that's a human being. Similarly, by the way, the Torah in Devarim points out that, contrasts Eretz Yisrael with Eretz Mitzrayim, land of Israel with Egypt. How so? Mitzrayim is described as a vegetable garden. Mitzrayim is a land of pagan idolatry. It has limited potential for spiritual growth. It is static. That's what paganism is. That's what idolatry is. You have a piece of wood and you bow down to a wood. What's wood? Wood can't change, wood can't grow, wood can't develop, wood can't do nothing. It's static. What you see is what you get, and once it's gone, it's gone. The implication, therefore, is that is Mitzrayim in contrast to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, which is the land of the grape, the olive, the date, the fig, right? The Shivaminim. Yes, I know that there's also wheat in that list. But Eretz Yisrael, Zavaschalav Udvash. Right, it's the land flowing of milk and honey. The chalav here is not milk per se; it's wine, but it's another story. The point of the matter is that Eretz Yisrael versus Mitzrayim is the contrast between the fruit tree and the plant, between extraordinary potential, being able to touch the divine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtzem himself to be in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Kodesh Kadoshim, Bein HaKaporis, Bein Abadim Mayal HaKaporis. This is what Eretz Yisrael represents. Eretz Yisrael is like a fruit tree, as opposed to the plant. Furthermore, plants and vegetables lie close to the ground, which represents extreme physicality and materialism. By contrast, the fruit tree stands tall, reaching towards Shamayim, which represents a striving for spiritual growth. And it seems to me that this is precisely what we celebrate on Tu B'Shvat. Yes, on Tu B'Shvat, you have to calculate what we owe to the tax man. You have to calculate, is it this year's Maaseros or next year's Maaseros? Which Maaseros are going to be given? Everything is on the accountant's calendar, comes to a close on Tu B'Shvat. But more than that, we have to reflect on who we are as human beings with a hidden neshama, a magnitude of infinite value. And we have to calculate that and what we may still become if we choose to do so. A Jew should never feel condemned to eat their vegetables, as it were, just to be static, with no room for growth. Rather, a Jew should always feel the draw of the Elon, of the tree, of the fruit, striving for more, for greater, for additional profundity and depth and spiritual meaning. Rav Soloveitchik famously taught, the Mishnah in Kalim says that there are Eser Kedushos, that there are ten regions of Kedusha in the world. You have Eretz Yisrael and Kol Haratzos. Israel versus the rest of the world. And then in Eretz Yisrael, you have 10 kedushos in Eretz Yisrael. You have the walled cities, and you have Yerushalayim, and then you have in Yerushalayim you have the Harabayis, which is the Beis Hamikdash with the Azar and the Azaras Yisrael and the Heichal and the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadash. Every level in Eretz Yisrael, you have 10 levels of Kedusha. What's this 10 levels of Kedusha? Isn't the entire world the Ribbono Shel Olam's resting place, as it were? The entire world is his throne. What does it mean you have 10 levels of Kedusha? Says Rav Soloveitchik that when a Jew has to understand that wherever they are in life, we always have another level to achieve. There's still more room for growth. There's never, and we never arrive. We never get there. We're always reaching just beyond the edge of the rainbow. Esther Kedushos. When we're in Eretz Yisrael, there's Yerushalayim. And in Yerushalayim, you have the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, with the Zara and the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kadah. And everywhere you go, there's another level. I never, ever arrive. Even the Kodesh Kadashim, which the Kohen Gadol can only enter in once a year while holding the Ketores on Yom Kippur, even that, the Kohen Gadol has to know that he also hasn't arrived. Because the Gemara says, Abba Shaul teaches that there's something even more holy than the Kodesh Kadashim. Says the Gemara in Pesachim, Abba Shaul Omer, Aliyas Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim, Chamura Mibeis Kodshei HaKadoshim. That the attic chamber above the Kodesh Kadoshim is even more Kodesh than the Kohen Gadol standing in the Kodesh Kadoshim with the Ketores on Yom Kippur. He has to also know that there is another level that he also hasn't arrived. There is always there's always something beyond our grasp that we have to strive for. That's Eretz Yisrael. That's what it means to be a Jew. That's the Elon of Rosh Hashanah LeElon, the fruit tree, as opposed to the vegetable. Constantly striving, reaching up to the heavens, trying to touch the divine, to touch the infinite, which can never be fully attained. And that's what we celebrate. That's the celebration, I believe, of Tu B'Shvat. We are celebrating the infinite potential of each and every Jew. We are celebrating the possibility, the endless possibilities for extraordinary living. We are celebrating the opportunity for a Jew to never be static and to always be able to realize greatness. And isn't that something worth celebrating? A good Tevach and a good Tu B'Shvat to all.